Thank you. Praise God. Well, before we start this evening, let's just commit our time into the Lord's hands and thank and bless Him in anticipation for what He is going to say to us tonight. And we're all here tonight because the Lord has moved in our hearts. Praise His name. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for this meeting. We thank You where two or three are gathered together in Your name. You have said, I am there in the midst. But Lord, we thank You above all for the Holy Spirit and the unction of the Spirit who leads and guides and teaches us. Father, I pray that each heart will receive the engrafted word. For Lord, we know that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And Lord, You've said that without faith it is impossible to please You. So help each one of us to mix faith with that which we hear, because You said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And Lord, I thank You for the saints that You are bringing into the room. We thank You, Father, that our headship tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ and our covering is the blood of the Lamb. And Lord, we thank You for the gifts that You are setting in the church and ministry gifts that are building, encouraging and edifying the saints. And Lord, we thank You now for this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, it's good to be with you again this evening and to share the Lord's word. And this evening, I want to talk on something that probably has or will affect all of us if we're followers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening, I'm calling our teaching, Have You Run Away? Have You Run Away? And this is something that we're all as believers sometimes are tempted or affected by. And it takes our trials and tests in this life to show where we are in the faith. You see, anybody can talk it. Anyone can have a head full of theology. But unless all of that is translated into our everyday walk, then it is little. And our walk in this life, in this world, is the test that whether we are or we're not disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many are confessing, but few are believing. And it is our trials that sort out every time where we stand in the faith. And Jesus knew this, and He knew this with his disciples. And it's interesting, the night of Jesus' arrest and betrayal, we know, don't we, that the disciples, they never dreamed that they would run away from that whole situation. In fact, that was the last thing that was on their minds. They were committed, they were going as far as they could with the Lord, and here he was betrayed, being handed over to his enemies. And little did they realize their reaction and what they would do. Let's turn, if we will, to familiar scriptures here in Mark 14, Mark chapter 14, and we'll take it up just from verse 43. And here it's speaking about Jesus' betrayal and arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Mark 14, verse 43, and immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." As soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him, and he said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords, clubs, to take me? I was daily with you in the temple preaching, and you did not seize me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then they all forsook him and fled. And here we see quite clearly that they were tested with their faith, tested with their loyalty. Now, we can read this account also in Luke 22 from 54 onwards, but the result of what happened when they ran away was obviously because of fear. It wasn't because they had enough, it was because basically of weakness. And so very often God has to get to the root of our weaknesses. And much of our weaknesses, what we're being delivered from and brought out from, is with regard to fear. Fear weakens one. Fear causes one to compromise. Fear causes us to lie, to fabricate. It causes us to run away. Fear will do all sorts of things. And we see precisely here what was happening with the disciples. But you see, God was allowing all this. And the reason being is to bring the disciples to a higher place, to a higher level. And this is what God does. And this is why he uses our trials. Because in our trials, if we remain and stay in them and don't run away, we see that God brings us to a higher level of faith. One of which is that we become more aware and sensitive to Almighty God's presence. It's interesting, if we turn to John 20, John 20, chapter 20, and verse 24, John 20 and verse 24, which says, "Now Thomas, called the twin one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. And other disciples therefore said to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, his print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came to the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said to them, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hands here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord, my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that is ultimately what God is doing with us. It is removing the unbelief. And there is nothing like trials that we go through that move our unbelief, that covers our eyes from seeing Jesus. The disciples betrayed him. Peter, we know, they recognized him, and Peter cursed him, and then he heard the cock crow, and he wept bitterly. We then see that Jesus has risen. They're together in the up together, and then the Lord appears to them, just as we've read here. And Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see him, unless I touch the prints of his hands, the nails, and his side, and so on. All of this God is using in which to bring these disciples to a deeper and higher level with God. That ultimately they may not only see the Lord and be sensitive to him, but above all, God working with them, confirming with them that you have no need to run away. And that's the whole point. You see, they are still spiritually blind because they don't recognize Jesus. And if you run away, you'll never see properly as God wants us to see. And this is the problem of so many believers today. You have many confessing Christ, but every time God tries to hone in on their lives, they're running away. Or they run from one ministry to another, or from one church to another, or whatever it is. There are so many spiritual nomads around today who are not resolute, settled, walking with God as disciples. And that's what we should be. That is the pinnacle of any walk of a Christian, is to be called a disciple. As Jesus said, if anyone come and follow me, let him take up his cross. We note the word if, you see. So God calls us ultimately to go higher, to be those disciples, those followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here that their eyes were to be open. What were they to be open to? Well, obviously to the resurrection. That is what God was ultimately opening their eyes to show that Jesus had defied death. He had overcome it. He had triumphed at the cross. He had now redeemed and brought a seed to himself. And this is what God was wanting to open their eyes to see that the good message of the gospel is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, if I will be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The sad thing about it today, that so many churches and denominations and big ministries are lifting up their organization. They're lifting up the name of a preacher instead of lifting up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus can only be lifted up if we too are taking our cross and following him, and that we stand and endure through our trials and believing through the tests and everything, and believing upon the promises of God's word. As we know so clearly, our faith is free but not cheap. And sadly, there's too much cheap Christianity that is around today. And it's only going to take the trials, and they're coming. For we're rapidly moving into the last days. We're moving rapidly into the great tribulation that is looming. And we find that many won't stand unless they are resolute in the faith. And they will do exactly the same. They will run away. We only have to read the book of Revelation to see many will run away. Many will want the rocks to fall upon them when the great tribulation comes. We see also Mystery Babylon and Babylon, the church and the world commerce, and everything falling, all the big empires falling, stock exchange falling, everything that man's put his trust in, money, the arm of the flesh, everything will give away. It will fall. The only thing that will stand is God's love, his word. And that is what he's making us resolute in. We, all of us, have got to experience the rock that we stand upon, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that true rock, that true foundation. There is no other foundation that can be built upon except the Lord Jesus Christ. And many are building it on cults and false leaders and false gods. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me. And so we see that God is now dealing with these disciples in spiritually opening their eyes. They've run away. God is now meeting with them. He's appearing to them. And before he's resurrected and taken up into glory, he has to meet with them again. And of course we know that he met with Peter and the other disciples, and he challenged Peter because Peter denied him, and the Lord challenged him three times, and on that third time, as we know so well, he said, Lord, and he said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. He restored him back. His trial, his test that he went through, was the means of God now working in him and opening his eyes so that he would no longer run away anymore. And we all do run away. We do it in so many ways. We do it in subtle ways. We can do it when God wants us to have a time of prayer and get into the word, or he wants to try and discipline us in those areas. And we allow ourselves to become occupied, involved with other things. We're almost hoping that the phone will ring so that I can go and do something, or do something for the family, or whatever it is. It's a form of running away. We can run away in so many ways. We can run away from our brothers and our sisters. We can run away from committing ourselves to the assembly, to the body. There's numerous ways that we run away. But God has a way of catching up with us, the same as he did with those disciples. And he will with us. And he has a way of cornering us and showing us that our eyes need to be opened. We need to go deeper with him. There are so many things that he wants to show us. We know the great story of Job, don't we? There's no one gone through what Job went through. He lost everything. And yet look what ultimately doing with him. There's something profound that God was doing with Job. We look in Job 20, verse 24. Job chapter 20. And verse 24. I'm so sorry. Job 19. Job chapter 19. Verses 25-26. Sorry about that. Job 19, verse 25-26. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. And he goes on, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. And his heart yearns within him. Isn't that wonderful? His trial has revealed by revelation the Lord Jesus Christ. And it took the depths of his trial. And this is where we see God in the depths of our trials. When we're brought to the end of ourselves. When there's no more fight in us. You see, our fighting gets in the way of God. God ever is trying to get us out of the way in everything that he does, because we meddle with things, we foul things up, we do things in the flesh, we think it's a good idea. And God has to bring us to the end of ourselves to show us that we know nothing unless it is revealed to us. And so here, what Job is going through, having lost everything, and God now, as he's restoring and working with him, he's opening his eyes, he fully is assured that he will see God again and see him in the flesh. God is revealing the resurrection, the pre-incarnate Christ under old covenant. Isn't it wonderful what God is doing here? So that's why Jesus said the pure in heart will see God, as it says in Matthew 5:8. In other words, you have a revelation of him, not just the mere word. There's so many Christians, all they know is just the word of God, and that is vital. But the word must produce something. Obviously faith to believe, yes. But the word of God must be translated that you see and hear God. And God has many ways in which he speaks to us. But very often he speaks to us through our trials. Through the fires that we go through. So that what we learn, our theology that we learn, is translated into experience, into deeds, into actions. That, my friends, is what sorts out the men from the boys. And too many Christians are still running away when God wants to go deeper with them. When he wants them to go higher up in that mountain. It's so easy to hide. It's so easy to run away and go elsewhere or listen to someone else. This is why I said there are so many Christians today are running from ministry to ministry, church to church, never grounding any root, never going higher with God. But there's nowhere to run. Wherever we run, we take it with us, as the disciples they saw for themselves. When finally Jesus, after his death and resurrection, he restored and brought them back, they learned a good lesson. There's nowhere you can run to, for you take it with you. But you know, there's such a blessing when we stop running and we meet face to face with Almighty God. Nothing can be greater. Nothing can be more fulfilling than to meet with your Maker and your Creator and to commune and fellowship, which is what salvation is about. And we know the enemy tries to rob us of this. And this is why he tries to keep us busy or tries to keep us out of God's presence and out of prayer and reading of the Word and just being still in his presence. We know the enemy is up to that. And if he's doing that, then he has understanding sometimes more than we do what can be accomplished by our time in creation with God. But the ultimate aim is that we will have these pure hearts, that we will see God on that day. And that is why we have to give God time to work with us. To work this deliverance, to take us deeper with him. This is why The school of waiting on God is so vital for the believer because it equips us, it charges us up, it causes us to be sensitive to God's voice and leading and guidance. You know, the Christian salvation is a school of waiting on Almighty God, and yet we find today that busyness is equated as spirituality. When you're doing, 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 but God's not called us to do, he's called us to be in his presence. And that is the difference. He's called us to worship him in spirit and in truth, to give him the time, and then everything else stems from that. Whatever is needed, whatever bit is needed in the church, whatever the church needs to move forward, all comes from the school of waiting. That's why it says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything that you need in this life is added to you as you put the kingdom of God first. And God knows those needs. God knows what we need. He knows the demands of life, which are getting harder and harder. And yet he says, just seek that kingdom, all the rest will take care of itself. This is the mighty deliverance that God's working with in the house of God at this moment. And this is why the enemy puts the pressure on of trying to keep us consumed in self, consumed with our worries and anxieties, and where we're going to get money to pay this next bill, and so on. This is why it's getting worse in the world, and these pressures being put upon us. But God is using this in which to actually unburden our load and leave it at the foot of the cross, so that we can be completely disposed to seeking and putting first the kingdom of God. Because everything, as he says, will result from that. And that is the whole point. And that is what he's opening our eyes to. And this is why you see so many Christians are running away when God is trying to speak to them. They're running away because of that fear, that anxiety, the worries, the frustrations, all of which God is trying to deliver us from those very things. This is why many believers, sadly, don't go higher with God, because they're so gripped with fear and unbelief. And it's like a spiritual cancer to our souls. And yet if we stay with it and we don't run away, God will use our trials, our tests that we go through, in which to anchor us so that we become firm, resolute, that we won't run away when the trials and the tests come. And this is why I said at the opening, some may have run away, some of you may run away. You say to me, oh, I won't run away. No, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be faithful to the end, to death and everything. Peter said the same. And yet he ran away. But you see, the love and mercy of God didn't give up. He used that in which to work something so much deeper in Peter. And he does exactly the same with you and me. And probably most of us, we have run away from God and been cut in our hearts. But you know, one of the greatest things you can cry out to God, and if you are sincere and you mean it, if you say to him, Lord Jesus, whatever it takes, please help me never to run away. Whatever it takes, help me to remain faithful always to you. And I believe God will hear that prayer. And at first it might look negative. It might look as though what you prayed has gone completely wrong, has gone completely pear-shaped. But you see, all God is doing is testing you on it, so that you then know. And that is the point. You see, faith is a knowing. As we know, Hebrews 11 and 1, 11 verse 1 tells us. And so our trials that we go through, and even sadly when we run away, is actually a means of God getting us to know our faith is real. We have to be shown, we have to know that our faith is real, and that the promises of God are real. They're not just words, but they are real. And they are there for us in Christ Jesus to be appropriated at that right divine time with God. But my brothers and sisters, that is a knowing. And I've described this before, but I will say it again. This knowing in the Greek is like being touched. It's a knowing of experience. It's a knowing like someone you live with, you know that person. You get to know them, like your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, members of the family. You get to know them. You know their character. You know their personality. You know things about them that you don't question or whatever. You know about them. It's just that knowing. That is what we mean by knowing by faith. And of course it's knowing the one who's the author and finisher to our faith, and that is the Lord Jesus himself. I know that God is faithful. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that by his stripes I was healed at Calvary. I know I am his, for I am born again, not of flesh but of the Spirit of God. It's I know. And all of that is so essential to our walk and commitment and faithfulness to God. And brothers and sisters, of course, we don't get this overnight. It's a life. It's a walk. It's every day walking with Jesus. It's knowing what he's saying. It's knowing how he's leading and guiding. You're coming to that place when you know when the Lord speaks. Is coming to that place where you know that God is in that situation, or he's speaking through that person, or whatever it will be. It's just that knowing, because you know him, you're with him, you're in him, he's in you. It's a union, it's a oneness, it's something that can't separate us. As the scriptures tell us, we cannot be separated from the love of God. Whatever we go through, whatever the trial, that love that I experience from him, that knowing God, cannot separate me in this trial that I'm going through, which is really difficult. And there are times when it seems just God has left, or he's a million miles away. Yet those experiences are to cause us to learn God's ways. There are times when God speaks, and there are times when he doesn't speak. There are times when God embraces us, and there are times when he refrains. We know this from Ecclesiastes. But it doesn't mean to say that God has left me, or whatever it is. It just simply means the walk I'm going through, or what's happening at the moment, that is the right thing. We learn, don't we, with each other, how we act. When it's a time to be with that person, or a time to let them have time on their own, or a time to comfort, or a time to refrain. All these experiences. But it doesn't change. It doesn't change the way we feel. It doesn't change our love, our attitude for God or for each other in the body of Christ. Each situation requires something different. That is how the way God's designed it, made it, created it. That is why each day walking with God, it's fresh and it's new. And so the only way we're going to understand God as we walk with him is to walk sensitively and not keep running away or up and down when the trials get hard or whatever it is. Fundamentally, of course, only God can cause us to stand firm, resolute, because otherwise we're not going to be. And so the pure in heart will see God. In other words, you have a revelation of him, not just that mere word. It's interesting that in the New Jerusalem, as it speaks in Revelation 22, it says that we shall see God. Our eyes will be fully opened. And yet, in eternal glory, we will still continue to see more and more and more of God. It will never come to an end. So in many ways, although our eyes are opened, yet our eyes being open will see yet more and more. That is God. That is how God is. That's how he reveals himself. You can read that in Revelation 22 verses 1 to 5. Even the remnant, the rebellious of Israel, they shall see him, the one whom they have pierced, in Revelation 7:9. Even rebellious Israel that's been restored back will finally see the one they crucified, they gave over, their king. Their eyes will be open to see. Those that come out of the great tribulation in Revelation 13 onwards to 15, verses chapters 13 to 15, it speaks of those that come out of great tribulation. Their eyes will be seen, will be opened. You see, God in his mercy preserves us. And he does this so that we don't run away. We even find in Revelation 12, verses 5 and 6, the woman that is left, she runs away into the wilderness. Why does she run away? Because it's fear, unbelief, and yet God says, I preserved, I will keep her. This is why the overcomers won't run away. And this is why they're preserved and kept. And of course, the next great event, as we know, in the Christian calendar will be the snatching away of the saints into glory. That's why we look up as our redemption draws nigh. But you see, it'll be only those that will go up in the rapture are the ones who don't run away, but are resolute. They stay with God. They stay through their trials, through their tests. This is why, you see, many today, when they speak about the rapture, they say all the believers will go up. They won't. Scripture's quite clear on it. It's only the first fruits, the overcomers. Because many believers are running away. Fear is doing it. Running away from trials, from tests. And remember, you take it wherever you go. No, the overcomers are the ones who will stay with Jesus. And even when he gets tough, they won't run away. Because God has worked with them. He's met with them. He's met through their running aways and brought them back so that they stay and remain, so that God can do that refining work through each and every one of us. You see, the refining work that God's doing with us is so that our eyes can be seen, be open to see him. It's ultimately for that fellowship, so that we can see and hear what God is doing and not always running to man for answers to what God is saying. You see, so many Christians fall into deception because they hear from God and then they take what they hear and ask man what he thinks, or to confirm it, and I can tell you what the answer often be: Satan. He'll twist it. When God speaks to you, he has given you a revelation. It's between you and God. That's how God works with us. I'm interested in Samuel, when God wished to speak to Eli. And you know, three times God called Samuel, and Samuel was told by God, Samuel didn't have to go and tell Eli. That was his choice. And very often God speaks to us, and God will speak to you personally, and it isn't for anybody else's ears. And so we have to use that discernment. We have to be sensitive. In that case, of course, with Eli, it was exposing his sons and so on. But as I close now with this and come to a conclusion, whatever you may do, if tomorrow you may find yourself running away, or whatever the situation, God in his mercy has and will have a way of restoring us and bringing us back. And it's for the purpose that our eyes may be opened, that we may see. Because the Christian gospel is a living gospel. The Christian gospel, the word of God, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's about relationship. It is about God communing with man, having fellowship with man. This is why, out of all other religions, our faith is so real. Out of all other religions, it is God that comes to man, whereas other religions, man is trying to get to God through works and so on. And there is the fundamental difference. You didn't find God, God found you. And that is why it's grace and mercy. And that is why we can boast in none of this. For everything God does in your life, and what he says and what he reveals, is because he first took the initiative. And that is why you see so many Christians today are so busy trying to work for God, trying to do his bidding. But everything that we do for God comes out of relationship, comes out of seeking the kingdom, comes out of being before him and not doing. And then we see that it is all of God, and he gets all the glory and all. Brothers and sisters, these are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They are so far, far the opposite. And the only way we can ever know how God is leading and guiding and what he's saying is as he divinely shows us and speaks to us. And you see, so often, when God speaks, this is when we run away. We know the story of Jonah going to prophesy against Nineveh. Next thing we know is he's looking for a boat and he's off. And we know the rest of the story. But in the fish's belly, that is where God worked deliverance. That is where, in the depth of that trial, God was able to work with him, so that he was only too willing afterwards to go and prophesy against Nineveh, that wicked city. You see, he was offended. They should be judged. And here God was showing mercy, and he spared judgment for about an extra 70, 80 years over wicked Nineveh. That's the nature and heart of God. Very often, sometimes, when God requires something of you in your flesh, you don't really want to do it. But it is always in that weakness he makes us strong. And that's the whole point. Now, very often, when we do it God's way, we then find afterwards that warmth, that joy. Somehow we have brought pleasure to our Heavenly Father when in myself I couldn't or didn't want to do that. God will have a way of showing when you please him. God will have a way when you are a joy and blessing to him. That is why I often say God also has feelings. He feels when we reject him. He feels when we lie to him, or we ignore him, or whatever it is, just like we do in relationships. He feels exactly the same, no different. And yet he never changes. He still restores us back in his infinite love and grace and mercy. So, brothers and sisters, the question is, will you run away? I trust it's not in your heart to do so. Heavenly Father, again this evening, we thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for your love that's never ending, that is always drawing us closer and closer into your presence. Thank you, Father, tonight for this meeting, bringing every saint into the room. Father, I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep them. Help them, Father, not to run away when at times we feel we just want to. Father, I pray that the joy of the Lord will be their strength, and that in their weakness they will draw strength from you, from the throne of grace. And Father, I pray you will keep them in fellowship, in prayer, and in the word. Work with them that they seek the kingdom every day, put that first, and simply walk by faith what has been predestined for them. Father, I thank you that there are souls out in that world, and you will lead and guide us to them, so that, Father, we can lift Jesus high in our witness, in our sharing, in our love. That, Father, we don't put self first, or what I belong to, or even full gospel assembly, but that we talk in redemptive terms. For man must be born again, not of flesh, but of the Spirit. Our good message is a message of redemption. But so often the enemy tries to sidetrack us and get us to talk about testimonies or God healed this person or whatever it is. Father, that has a place. But Father, put within our hearts the desire to see those who draw into our midst, that they are redeemed, sanctified by the blood of Jesus, a new creation in Christ. And so, Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for this meeting. I pray you'll bless, preserve, and keep each one of us till we fellowship again. For we ask this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, thank you this evening for your time and fellowship. I had an email today from our brother Bob, as you know, who is in Kenya. I am sending emails out as they come, and the Lord is really working through there. Today he went with Pastor Abraham, and they went to a house, I think various houses that they were going to visit, and There was a particular family that they met and shared the gospel, and I believe Bob prayed for someone who has bad back problems. So the Lord is really blessing there, and Bob is just so aware of the Holy Spirit just working, taking over. And of course, that's really what it's all about. Sometimes we wonder why God really needs us or uses us, but of course he does. But the point is that it's being sensitive that God is having his way, and that's what he's experiencing. So that was a blessed email I had. If none of you have received any emails, let me know, because I'll forward them on. But I think I've incorporated everyone. I will be preaching again on Sunday. The room will be open, and I'll preach online round about 11 o'clock. That's UK time. So until then, every one of you have a blessed week.
Washed us in his word.